sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. We have authority, dominion, power over everything that moves upon the face of this earth. Saints of God, this is the power and authority that God has given us. Now we hear what the scriptures have said, and I hope you wrote them down so you can go back and reread them. We hear what the scripture said, and I know it's clear. So let's understand what this means. God gave us sovereignty, means the power of a supreme ruler, of persons who have supreme power, just not power, saints of God. This is the power that we have. God gave it to us. We have supreme power and authority. Listen at this. And dominion, power, and authority. It was given to the king's kids. Well, who are we? God is the king, and we're his kids. So this power was given to us. You know, we're king's kids, and we're made by him. He is our father. We have the same power and authority to rule, reign, govern, and control everything on earth. We have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have those keys. You remember those keys. We have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. God has given us those keys. He's given us his authority and power to bind, to loose all these things. We have the power to bind and loose things. All things that before they come on the earth, and if somehow we miss it and they come on the earth, we still can bind it and we can loose the power of God. We can't be afraid. We cannot be unbelieving. You know, we have to believe what God has said. We have to have faith in God. That's what he said in Mark 11:22, the last part of that verse. He said, we have to have, this is what Jesus said, we have to have faith in God. There's nowhere else to go, saints of God. The disciples asked Jesus one day, he said, Jesus, if we turn from you, where should we go? You know, we need to know the same answer. The same answer is going to apply to us. Where should we go if we turn from the Lord? Well, if we turn from God, there's no place else to go. Just like the disciples didn't have a place to go, we won't have a place to go. We need to take God as his word, you know. Take your God-given authority, power, and you need to fight. That's what we have to do now. We need to take the power that God has given us, and we need to fight. We need to speak the word only. In Matthew 8:8, that's what it says, speak the word only. You know, that's what the centurion said to Jesus. You know, he said that to Jesus. You know, he told him, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house, but just speak the word only. That applies to us also. Speak the word only. We might not be all we should be in the Lord, but he told us to speak the word only, and evidently it's going to work because it worked for that centurion man. You know, just speak God's word. You know, the news media, the scientists, the epidemiologists, you know, even our own body. We got to speak God's word over all that stuff. You know, don't listen to what these people say. Not even what our own body say. We have to do what God says. In Ephesians 6:12, it said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. Who do you think Satan is? He is the ruler of darkness.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministry. International, P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday at Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I am compelled, drawn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. Verses 1 through 5 is the context that we want to look at. And in your time of devotion, of study, you'll do well to read these verses. But verse 2 is our special verse that the Spirit of the Living God has called my attention to say something about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, "My mind is made up." My mind is made up. I think it's important, my brothers and sisters, to understand Paul's disposition at this point. How he is certainly trying to get the Corinthians to understand his platform, to understand his stance, to understand something far greater than human personality, and to understand something that is greater than the temporal joys and knowledge that they presently enjoy. He's sharing with the Corinthians, who have a vast knowledge of worldly things, but they're quite limited in the knowledge of God. And Paul wants to make clear that his message is short and his mission is clear. That it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's not there to demonstrate his wit against those of his day who were the great philosophers, Aristotle and Socrates. He's not there to compliment their wonderful commerce and that wonderful statuary. He's not there to lift up their fabulous lifestyle and Epicurean ways. He's not there to entrench himself in the wisdom of men and or to establish himself in all of these manners that signify and denote that he is someone special. He's making clear it really isn't about him. And it's really not about them. It's about Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that he was careful not to do is you'll look at these verses, the context, verse 1 and 3 and 4 and 5, etc. You'll note that one of the things he does not follow is the Aristotelian rhetoric that says when a man who is of substance comes into a city, he announces his credentials and he displays his wisdom and he puts on as if it were a theatrical performance and bring into his presentations the arousal of men's emotions and feelings and draw attention to his ability to stir folk up, which makes folks say he is greater than the wisdom he possesses. He wasn't interested in all of that. He had his mind made up before he ever got to Corinth. Listen at this, because I want you to see in these 15 words in this one verse, if we just look at it, let's read it grammatically if you don't mind. For I determined not to know anything, comma. Among you, comma. Save Jesus Christ, comma. And him crucified, period. For I determined not to know anything among you, comma. Now it's important to recognize this because let's go back because what it's going to share with us is his preference, listen, of focus. Preference of focus. But what are you talking about? First of all, he starts off saying, for I determined. King James Version renders it determined. The ESV, English Standard Version, renders it decided. For I decided. The New International Version renders it resolved. For I resolved. But the word determined, one of the definitions for determined is the word prefer. For he says, for I prefer not to know anything, listen, not about you, but among you. And so one of the things that they were stealthy about was lifting up their pride through the things they had accomplished and the things that they lifted up as important to them. And Paul was making clear, I'm not interested in all of this temporary stuff that you glory in. I will not be pulled into your concerns. I will not be pulled into your desires. I will not be pulled into your fashions and your customs and your issues and your schisms and your schemes. I will not be pulled into all of these things, for I made up my mind before I came. It's not about all of that. And preachers and teachers and Christians got to come to the point where they learn how to make up their mind that they're not going to be all across the board. You got to stand for something or fall for, anything. Paul made it clear, I'm standing for a purpose. And I won't let anybody turn me around. I won't let anybody back me down. I won't let anybody change my mind. My mind is made up. So that's the preference of focus. But I want you to see the person of focus. Jesus Christ. voice. Listen to what he's saying here. I determined not to know anything among you save except Jesus Christ. My whole message is about Jesus. My whole mission is about Jesus. My methods I use are concerning Jesus. Everything about me is about Jesus. His mind was so made up about Jesus that there was very little room concerning anything else until they came into the knowledge of this Jesus he was talking about. He wanted to simplify the reality that this life is not worth living without Jesus. Save Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus because it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he has done. It's all about what he is doing. It's all about what he shall do. All the Old Testament leads up to it. All the New Testament leads from him. It's all about Jesus. It is the centrality of the gospel. Jesus. And too many Christians do not focus on Jesus. We have religion, but we don't have righteousness. We have membership, but we don't have relationship. We're caught up in this and that, and we stand up for this and that, but the reality is not many of us are steadfast focused on Jesus, and we wonder why we cannot experience the power of Jesus. It's because we are not seeking the presence of Jesus, and if we don't have the presence of Jesus, the Holy Ghost ain't gonna do nothing. When you lift Jesus up, when you magnify Jesus, when you make it all about Jesus, the Holy Ghost comes on in and say, this is the kind of party I want to be a part of, because Jesus sent me to be a comforter of those who love him and make it about him. He's the person of focus. And the believers have got to learn how to make Jesus the center of their joy, the center of their conversation, the center of their lives, the center of their love. They've got to make Jesus the purpose for which they live. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now let me move on to the last few words. He says, and him crucified, and him crucified, 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 him, the Holy One of God, crucified, him, the pure and only begotten of the Father, crucified. And him, the precious Lamb of God, crucified. And him, the one the Father set down to save mankind, crucified. And him, whose blood was only pure enough to pay the penalty of mankind, and whosoever would seek him. And him, who God so loved that he gave, that all who would get to know him would have eternal life. And him, crucified. Well, listen at this. This word, crucified, actually is no special word. It is a word that simply means one who has nails driven in his hand and feet for payment of crimes committed. There's no glory in crucifixion. Let's be clear about this. When we understand that, it comes from the Greek word staro. And listen, it just simply means a criminal being nailed to a cross. Now, I want to make it clear to us, because Jesus wasn't the only one hung on Calvary. Did you hear what I just said? There were two other male factors on either side of it. And what were they being? Crucified. But unlike Jesus, they were not holy. They were being crucified, but unlike Jesus, they were not pure. But unlike Jesus, they were not sent by the Father. But unlike Jesus, they were not the ones who died for others rather than the sins he committed himself. But there were others being crucified at the same time, but they were not like Jesus. Listen at this, because when you recognize Jesus was the only one who had a choice to come down. Jesus was the only one who was placed on the cross without having been condemned of anything worthy of death. Had he been arrested in our day and time, he would have gotten off on a technicality, because nobody read him his Miranda rights. Nobody said to him, Jesus, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. Listen, you have a right to an attorney present. If you do not have one, you will be appointed one by the courts. Nobody said that to Jesus. And he was innocent. He was brought through six trials unlawfully. When you begin to recognize everything that they did to Jesus was not only unlawful but ungodly, when Pilate searched him in and out, up and down, he said, I find no fault in him at all. But yet he hung on the cross. And what Paul uses here is the ability. Listen, crucifixion was offensive, especially to the Jews. It was the worst way one could die. And they took the Holy Son of God and nailed him to a cross. And yet he was without sin. He was without fault. And yet they put him on that cross and nailed nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And they made him as a villainous criminal. And he had done nothing wrong. And him crucified. See, every time the Jews hear about this crucifixion, it does something to them, because they crucified the Messiah. You know, when folk don't want to believe you are who you are, God says you are, they try and change things about you. But here's what they don't understand. They can't change what God has charged. And that's why every time they heard about him being crucified, it was thrown back in their face that he suffered on a cross because his own people found him worthy. Yes, these others hung on the cross and they were crucified, but they were crucified because they were guilty. But Jesus was not guilty of anything but loving mankind and laying down his life for them. And when you begin to recognize this, Paul makes clear that he's made up his mind to lift Jesus up, to put Jesus first, to make him the center of his message. Not all of the stuff that folk go on with and deal with in church, and not all of these small things and trivial things and traditions of men. He wanted to lift Jesus high, who said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw men unto me." And my brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is. A simple message. Jesus Christ and him crucified. No excellency of speech, Paul says. No demonstration of the profundity of his wisdom. Not showing his oratory abilities or anything. Just simply saying, Jesus Christ and him crucified. What's the power in that? Here is the power. That when you tell it like it is, the Holy Ghost takes the truth and he convicts men's hearts. See, our problem is we don't know how to tell the truth. We've got to be politically correct. We can't convict folk with our words. You can only be convicted by the words of God. And what we don't understand is because we change the words of God to make them more palatable, digestible, to make them easier on the ear, to make them easier to accept, we lose the effectiveness of the simple message. It's Jesus Christ and his finished works at Calvary. He who was innocent died for the guilty, and it's because of that we have an opportunity who accept him to be saved. Not because we are all of that in ourselves. What a difference it would be if we believed that. What a difference it would be if everybody in this building this morning went out tomorrow, next week, and made Jesus the object of their conversation. If they witnessed, what great power is in the believer's mouth? If we all came back together on Wednesday and was in prayer service. Y'all getting mighty quiet on me here. What great difference it would be if we came back and wanted to learn more of the word of God, to know what it is God wants us to know, so the greater we are able to lift up Jesus. What an impact we'd make on our world everywhere we are if we know how to present Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, when we put everything else but him in the forefront of our minds, when we put everything else above him, so much so that he is not lifted up, then he cannot draw. You want to get folks saved? Lift Jesus up. Let folk know what he's done for you. How he set you free. How he delivered you. How he healed you. How he blessed you. How he changed you. How he developed you. How he turned you around. Open your mouth and make it about Jesus. But some of us get so holy in the now, we don't want folk to know where we've come from. But listen, my brothers and sisters, they won't be able to appreciate where you are if you can't tell somebody, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see."
I haven't always been here. I've not always been what I should be. I've not always done what I ought to do. I've not always been everything God has called me to be. But Jesus